Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and I am John Jacob Schmidt on episode 14-12, broadcasting from the Free Zone to all of you across the American Redoubt, the other Free Zones, and Occupied Territory. Thank you so much for joining us. We are here to bring you information and inspiration, and hopefully we can encourage you and bring unification to the patriots and the preppers and God-fearing, liberty-loving Americans out there. This is Studio A, Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting from an undisclosed location. And we've got several things that we want to cover tonight, of course. And we want to basically just get right into it. We've got a couple of interviews coming up. We're going to get Christian Fioravanti on the line, who is a Northern Idaho Senate candidate and really sharp young man. And we're going to hear about some of the hot button issues that he's going after. And we also have a lady, Patriot, who was stopped at a checkpoint. And I was first informed about this from Dave and Beth from AMP3, one of our sponsors, on their way to the Prepper Fest in Arizona. And she was one of two parties who attended that conference who was stopped by a warrantless checkpoint. And so we're going to get her firsthand account of that. And we are going to get to some listener questions because there are many and we try to get to them all. I try to respond to all of the listener emails. And thank you, by the way, too. There's another kind of a surge in communications SOIs that folks are making a $2 donation, and some of you more. Thank you very much for supporting Radio Free Redoubt. And I think we've just about got all but just a couple of those caught up. And so late after the show, we'll go through and get the download instructions for that, for those of you who have not received it yet. And we want to make sure that every like-minded patriot prepper has their hands on the communications signal operating instructions to help you get in contact with other like-minded individuals, or at least greatly increase the chances of you being able to link up with others of like mind in a communications down or some other emergency type situation. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook.com, codename Polly01's doing a great job of keeping that updated with fresh content. And I throw in my 2 cents every now and then and try to respond to some of the questions that people have. Great stuff. Okay, I want to remind you before we go any further, and we're going to be talking about this more. Remember, April 19th is the Second Amendment rally. This is put on primarily by the Oath Keepers, and it'll be co-sponsored by Radio Free Redoubt. This is a Second Amendment rally celebrated on the 19th of April, which was the day after Paul Revere's ride, to warn the colonists that the Redcoats were mobilizing and crossing on land, or that they were coming by sea and that they were about ready to start coming to disarm them. Well, that was the day that the American Revolution started, on the 19th, the following day after they had raised 6,000 members, colonialists, who stood their ground at Lexington Green and the Bridge at Concord, where the shot was fired that was heard around the world, that started it all. Well, it's just a great, it's very fortuitous that the April 19th falls on a Saturday when people can actually get together at the fairgrounds, Kootenai County Fairgrounds. We've got several people lined up to speak there. Senate candidate Danielle Ahrens, Appleseed, of course, will be there. It would not be April 19th at a Second Amendment rally without Appleseed there. Pat Seymour, an Appleseed instructor and shoot boss, and he was the shoot boss at the Appleseed event that I attended. Oathkeeper President Stuart Rhodes will be there, along with Senator Steve Vick, Idaho, Representative Matt Shea, Washington, and Representative Vito Barbieri, Idaho. Also a candidate for Lieutenant Governor Jim, I don't know how to pronounce this, C-H-M-E-L-I-K. I need to figure out how to pronounce that. Kamelik. And of course, there's going to be an assortment of everyday Americans, including avid hunter Amanda Lowry will also be there. Looking forward to that. And the coolest part, well, for me, is that Radio Free Redoubt will be on location covering it live. We'll be streaming live. And for those of you who are not in one of the free zones, or at least in the area of the Northern Idaho area, so if you are in another free zone, or if you are in occupied America outside the wire, we will give you the opportunity to be able to tune in and listen to some great speeches. And the event starts at noon. Our goal is to get set up prior to that, at least an hour or more, so we can do some pre-event coverage with interviews and patriotic music. And we will also, this is a really cool thing, we will be giving away a high-quality, handmade leather rifle sling. Now, this is custom-made by Lever Gun Leatherworks out of Athol, Idaho. And amazing work that he did. If you get a chance, go check that website out, Lever Gun Leatherworks. And look at just some of the amazing stuff that he does. We'll be giving one of those away. And is a very high value there. Beautiful piece of workmanship. And he does custom leather work and ships it around the world. Really cool. All right, let's get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate and 299 Days. The book series covering the collapse or partial collapse and the rebuilding. And you can learn more by going to 299days.com. Oh, what do we want to cover first? There's just so much going on. But since we are patriots and we are partisans, somebody emailed me. They say, you know, pardon my ignorance, but I hear you the word partisan mentioned. What do you mean by that? Well, a partisan is someone who has chosen a side, someone who is passionate about their cause, and someone who will not back down, and they are willing to get in the fight at all costs to fight to make sure that their side wins. In this case, the Patriots and the partisans of Radio Free Redoubt getting engaged. We've chosen a side. We're going all out. We're pledging our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And we don't take that lightly. But here's someone who's laid it down on the line. Carroll County Commissioner willing to go to jail for opening meeting with prayers despite a judge's ruling. This is Carroll County Commissioner. Let me read it to you. This just came out this week, of course, about all of these did. Out of Westminster, Maryland, a Carroll County Commissioner said she was willing to go to jail. That's a quote from her, opening up board meetings with a prayer despite a federal judge in Maryland ruling that the board has to stop with opening meetings with prayers that reference Jesus Christ or any specific deity. She says, if we cease to believe that our rights come from God, we cease to be America. Amen, sister. You're right. That was from Robin Bartlett Frazier. She said, we've been told to be careful, but we're going to be careful all the way to communism if we don't start standing up and saying no. And that's it right there. Just say no. I'm not going to comply. We are not going to comply. We're not going to register firearms. We're not going to turn them in. We're not going to stop praying in the name of Jesus. We're not going to stop being patriots. We're not going to bow down to your agenda. Not going to happen. Well, Judge William Quarles Jr. ruled Wednesday that the board must stop opening its meetings with sectarian prayers. He said that while a lawsuit over prayers proceeds, that the commission may only have non-sectarian prayers. So as long as we take Jesus out of it, then I guess we could pray to, what's a non-sectarian prayer? Oh, universal power, bless this meeting. What the heck are these people? So anyway, she's standing her ground. God bless her for that. We're in a fight. We are in a fight. And of course, Maryland, you're deep in New Europe and occupied territory there. So pray for our patriot brothers and sisters that are standing their ground. You guys heard about this DHS and FEMA earthquake exercise. You pretty much have to be living under a rock not to have heard about it. But in case you haven't, there is an earthquake exercise that will be taking place in Alaska. And this will be involving multiple agencies. And it is really centered toward centered around an earthquake type of scenario. InfoWars broke it first because somebody sent in a copy of the PDF outlining this role play scenario. Well, I wouldn't have a problem with a certain part of our government planning for emergencies so they could respond and have highly trained people and capable to be able to do that to save our lives and minimize loss of risk to loss of life and property and so on. Okay, earthquake. Well, this is involving military, National Guard, law enforcement agencies, Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, you know, the usual suspects. So, let's say somebody's going to get left out of the role play. Somebody who's been sitting there wringing their hands to make themselves feel like they have a purpose in life. So let's throw in another bad guy here. Let's throw in another monster that we can prepare to go against. Well, what they did was this organization that they made up called Free Americans Against Socialist Tyranny. This is the hypothetical organization that they are inserting into this training. Now, this Free Americans Against Socialist Tyranny organization sounds like something I'd want to join. Sounds like something that we should all be part of. Free Americans Against Socialist Tyranny? Sign me up. Okay. Well, you can't because it's not really an organization. But in the mind's eye of the people that are going to be role-playing this scenario, it is going to be a very real organization that they're going to be training against. The U.S. Northern Command mission of defense support to civil authorities has led to, this is part of their scenario. This is how they're getting briefed up, has led to increased activity by some anti-government organizations. Currently, the most vocal organization is Free Americans Against Socialist Tyranny. That doesn't sound like an anti-government organization to me. It sounds like someone is against socialism and against tyranny, as we all should be. Anyway, I'll read on. Using social media, they advertise anti-U.S. rhetoric, focusing on the Department of Defense, as well as to recruit like-minded individuals to join their cause. Well, sounds like us. While some except we don't use anti-U.S. rhetoric, we're pro-U.S., and we're not anti-government, we're pro-government. We are anti-tyrant, and we are opposed to the people whose agenda is very clearly designed to destroy Americanism. We are opposed to that. And we're very grateful for those patriots in elected positions and those in the bureaucracy, the bureaus, parts of the government that are fighting tyranny. They are patriots. They plan on keeping their oath. It almost sounds like they just took Oath Keepers and changed the name, doesn't it? Well, while some Free Americans Against Socialist Tyranny members are capable of conducting adverse cyber operations, the greatest threat is current government employees sympathetic to their cause. It's believed that there are employees within U.S. NORTHCOM Air Force, U.S. Army, National Guard, and Defense Information Systems Agency that may support free Americans against socialist tyranny doctrine based on individual comments on social media sites. They're painting the picture of an enemy that they have to supposedly go up against. Recent reductions in force and early separation requirements have raised concern for disgruntled military and Department of Defense civilians. Based on the possible insider threat, the below capabilities could be compromised or targeted during military operations. Isn't that something? Now, we're going to take a short break. And as soon as we come back, I'm going to throw in some of my two cents here. A little bit of analysis from the John Jacob Schmidt perspective. And my name is your name too. So stay right there. We'll be right back in a minute to wrap up news and commentary here at Radio Free Redoubt. They all got blood in the eyes and murder on their minds. Murder on their mind. He's crossed the line. Murder on their mind. On their mind this time. The storm is coming to a front after battle deal.
How rare is it for a government to let expire a temporary tax? And how many times have you known government to repeal any measure which grants power to itself or removes liberty from the citizens? I can count the number of times on one finger and a thumb, with their tips touching one another, of course. John Adams said, "A constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever." There is an exception, however, and that is when things begin anew. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Are you a licensed ham operator? If so, the American Readout Movement needs your help. To support the mission of keeping the American Readout connected in a Teotihuacan situation, Radio Free Readout is working on a project to build a network of patriotic, amateur radio operators who consider themselves readouters. Your skills will be critical in rebuilding and advancing the American Readout Movement after Teotihuacan. Please email us at radiofreereadout@gmail.com to find out how you can partner with Radio Free Readout in this critical and time-sensitive project. Your input and ideas are greatly appreciated. Thank you, ham operators, for what you do.
Welcome back. This is segment two, and we are going to pick up where we left off. We were talking about this scenario with Homeland Security in creating a new problem to insert into this wargaming or this role-playing exercise based on an earthquake scenario in Alaska. Okay, so I wanted to spend some time talking about this because it's kind of interesting, the lessons that you can pull out. Now, segment two is sponsored by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, our newest, most recent sponsor, and would like to thank them very much, very sincerely, for supporting Radio Free Redoubt, for being patriots, for being partisans, and for helping redoubters get relocated to the American Redoubt. They're providing outstanding real estate services in the North Idaho Panhandle, in the heart of the American Redoubt. You can learn more by going to www.selkirkmountainrealestate.com. And if you scroll down a little bit, you can click on, they have a picture there of a property, and it's titled North Idaho Retreats. Click on that picture to visit their Boundary and Bonner County Retreat Survival Properties page. I know that several of you are looking at their listings, and they will be able to help you with that. Okay, now, the free Americans against socialist tyranny. What's in a name? Did they pick that by accident? Well, some moron or somebody with a nefarious motives chose that name. Conditioning. It's conditioning the volunteers, the people that are part of this. They're planning for a future scenario and a future threat. So let's put a name on this threat.
free Americans against socialist tyranny. So they're conditioning the minds of the people involved. And what's interesting about this is they place the emphasis on weeding out government employees and members of the military and National Guard who might be sympathetic to the cause of this cyber terrorist group. Let me just read this to you. Free Americans against socialist tyranny sympathizers may include both former and current members of the military with training on satellite communications, computer network defense, network operations. So basically they're going to start right now in their training. They're probably even going to make this as realistic as possible, insert, sympathizers to this patriot group that they made up. Free Americans against socialist tyranny, so that they can sniff them out. They're training for this right now. While some Free Americans against socialist tyranny members are capable of conducting adverse cyber operations, the greatest threat is current government employees sympathetic to their cause. It's believed that there are employees within U.S. Northern Command, that's NORTHCOM, U.S. Air Force, U.S. Army, National Guard, and Defense Information Systems Agency that may support Free Americans Against Socialist Tyranny doctrine. So this is a very interesting development. They are planning on going after internal members who are sympathetic toward people who want freedom, patriots, and those who are against socialism and against tyranny, build right into their training. But see, this is a patriot organization, apparently, who's seizing this opportunity during this crisis, during a massive earthquake that affects our infrastructure, communications, and everything else. So who better to take advantage of an opportunity here to attack the United States government using cyber attacks? Not China, not Al-Qaeda, not Taliban, not Iran, not Russia, but American patriots that are against socialism. Isn't this incredible? I mean, who was it that said, never let a crisis go to waste? Because it's the patriots that are going to take advantage of this and exploit a disaster. No. The people who said never let a crisis go to waste, the opportunists who were more likely to implement their agenda that's harmful to this country, are people that are in our government. You want proof? Secretary of State Clinton, Hillary Clinton. She said it. I'll put the posting right here. I'll put the posting on the highlights and resources posting. She said, never let a good crisis go to waste. And Rahm Emanuel, one of Obama's cronies in his first administration, moved on to Chicago. No big surprise there. He said it first. Never let a great crisis go to waste. Very interesting. Okay, let's move on to this next story. Because this is the mindset of the people that we're up against. Uninformed people that are trying to disarm us. Representative Diana DeGette, Democrat, Colorado. They were asking in this discussion about what's the efficacy of passing a high-capacity magazine ban. In other words, what's the ability to produce a desired or intended result? If you pass this, how practical of a law really is that? Do you think you could really pull it off if you banned high-capacity magazines? So these people are fighting to ban something that they don't even know what it is. Listen to this clip.
That we can pass those. And just very briefly, to your last question, what's the efficacy of banning these magazine clips? I will tell you, these are ammunition. They're bullets. So the people who have those now, they're going to shoot them. And so if you ban them in the future, the number of these high-capacity magazines is going to decrease dramatically over time, because the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
Sheriff Smith, you'd like to respond.
Absolutely. First, I would encourage.
Did you get that? Isn't that something? Okay, in case you missed that, she thinks that this is like a roll of 35 millimeter film. You know, this only holds 24 exposures. Once you take pictures, your 24 pictures, it's used up. You can't reuse it again. You throw it away, right? You don't save the canister. You go and get it developed, right? And then you just throw the canister away because it can't be reused. You already used up the film that's in it. Well, I mean, that's what she thinks. So all the high capacity magazines that are out there on the market now, well, we're not really worried about those because people will go out and shoot those target practicing stuff and they'll shoot those up. And once they're empty, well, they won't be able to buy new ones because the magazines, the bullets will already be fired. Isn't that something? And she's trying and they're trying to ban something that they don't even know what it is. Maybe that's a good thing. Hopefully somebody does not let her know that you can actually reload magazines and put more ammunition back in them. So man, these people, this is funny. Hey, we've got a victory. The FBI dumped the Southern Poverty Law Center as a so-called hate crime watchdog, resource. The Southern Poverty Law Center, which has labeled several Washington, D.C.-based family organizations as hate groups for favoring traditional marriage, has been dumped as a resource on the FBI's hate crime webpage. Way to go, the patriots in the FBI. Thank you for whoever was behind that and everyone that supported them. These guys, that's awesome. That is just awesome. We've got patriots on the inside of the FBI, and they're doing everything they can. This was a huge victory for the American people. This was great. The webpage scrubbing, which also included eliminating the Anti-Defamation League, was not announced, and it came in the last month after 15 family groups pressed Attorney General Eric Holder and FBI Director James Comey to stop endorsing a group, SPLC, that inspired a recent case of domestic terrorism at the Family Research Council. We covered that. Isn't that something? The Anti-Defamation League, however, was shocked by the FBI's move, made without any notice. That's because they made a fortune off of that contract. So did the SPLC. This is good stuff. Thank you. Thank you, Patriots. We are so appreciative. Okay, in the American Redoubt, the Gem State Patriot reported that, you guys know, we talked about this already, the Idaho governor signed the emergency legislation to nullify federal gun laws. Good news, right? Wait, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Representative Vito Barbieri, who spoke at the Mad Bomber Microbrewery last Thursday at an Oath Keeper meeting. Matt Shea was there. Vito Barbieri was there. Several other candidates, strong patriot candidates, were there. Stuart Rhodes spoke. And it was a great gathering, but Vito Barbieri nailed it because all of a sudden we're seeing these Republicans who are actually rhinos. They're left of center people wearing a Republican badge. They're signing these gun measures so they can run out. Why? Because it's election year. So they can say, look, I'm really conservative. You know, I'm really not a socialist. I just vote for socialist laws. That's what Vito Barbieri said Thursday night. And he's dead on right, because these people all signed in this state healthcare exchange trying to sell it to the people. Why? How come he couldn't nullify Obamacare? That's a great question that they posed. Why is it that you can nullify federal gun laws at the stroke of a pen, but you just couldn't do anything about nullifying Obamacare? It was out of your control. We have to have a state exchange. Otherwise, we'll have to do the Obamacare. Why couldn't you nullify that? Because you showed your true colors. So you're being deceptive now by trying to run through some pro-gun legislation to try to show everybody what a great patriot you are, and you're not. You are left of center. I mean, Butch Otter just had a fundraising that was put on by Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney was the Massachusetts governor who pushed the model for socialized medicine that Obama used for Obamacare. These people are so deceptive. Well, there's an alternative coming, and that's Russ Fulcher. Senator Russ Fulcher, Idaho, he's running for governor, and the Republican Party is trying to put everything they can into the governor, Butch Otter, to keep him in power. He's got to go. He is not a patriot. He is left of center. He's got to go. Okay. Let's see. What's another one? Speaker Bedke kills the grocery tax bill in Idaho. You guys got to get him out of here. Hold these people accountable. Senator Russ Fulcher, running for governor now, Republican, right of center, he proposed a grocery tax bill to bring some relief to the people in Idaho, to just like Washington State, where food items are exempt from sales tax to help them with their grocery bill. This guy, what's his name? Speaker Bedke gets it overturned. He shelves the bill so that it can't come onto the floor for a vote. This is just cruddy politics. People make me so angry. In Idaho, too, we've got a guy who truly is a patriot, and he is a real conservative, the only one on the Coeur d'Alene City Council in northern Idaho. He's trying to get the weapons ban removed, this ridiculous ordinance that they have in place so that you can't have a firearm on a parade route or at any, you know, major gathering. This was a knee-jerk thing to the neo-Nazis were holding their parades, and they were trying to, you know, minimize violence and protesters and everything else. So they pass a law, no guns within, I don't have it in front of me, I don't want to say, along a parade route or other gatherings, and he's trying to get that removed. That's a good thing. Democrats, they are strategizing. You patriots in Idaho, you got a fight ahead of you. Do not relocate to the American Redoubt and check out. You now need to roll your sleeves up and get in the fight. The Democrats are moving forward with a new boldness. They're encouraged. They think that the time for Republican domination has run its course. They said they, in a recent meeting that they had, the candidates and party leaders said the Republican domination of recent years has likely run its course. They said rebalancing the politics of the state is priority number one. Let me tell you something. They don't want balance. And neither do we. We are a conservative, right of center, right wing. That means less government, not no government, less controlling government and more freedom. We are right of center. When they say they want balance, what they mean is that we submit to their agenda. We lose ground. We take two steps back so they can cross the line. And that what they call that balanced. There is no room for compromise. We have compromised ourselves right into a corner. Just like that county commissioner in Maryland said, we're going to be careful or compromise ourselves right into communism and godlessness. We cannot budge. We cannot give an inch. That's my take. All right, Fox 519 is going to take it away.
So, after my news of last week, did you go get that old currency traded out? Well, if you didn't, you better get on the stick, because we're playing a dangerous game of chicken. This game of chicken we are playing with both Russia and our economy. This week we saw the Senate bill pass on more sanctions on Russia. We saw Russia increase their gold holdings by another 7 metric tons, and our food prices have increased since the beginning of the year by 19%. This is Sunday, March 30th, 2014, and I am Fox 519, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is I and the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Welcome back. And the bad decisions keep on coming. Well, this week we saw our government pull another bonehead move in an effort to further isolate Russia from the rest of the world and pour money into Ukraine that we just don't have. The bill passed earlier this week through both the House and the Senate, and when asked about the bill, Majority Leader Eric Cantor said the following. The Ukraine bill should be a first step towards reevaluating the U.S. relationship with Russia. We must fundamentally reassess our assumptions about Russia and acknowledge that Putin himself scrapped the administration's reset policy a long time ago. Cantor went on to further add that we need a new strategy that understands Putin for who he is, not who we wish him to be. The provision in the bill would spend more than $100 million to promote democracy and security in Ukraine while imposing economic sanctions on anyone deemed by the president to have undermined the Ukrainian country's security or independence, or, quote, to have engaged in corruption in Ukraine or Russia. In response to the action by the House and the Senate, the Russians responded in kind, with Russian Finance Minister Anton Siluanov releasing news that Russia has begun creating its own credit card and payment processing system within the country. Minister Siluanov released the following statement. The Russian government has no plans so far to ditch Visa and MasterCard, but at the same time, we are beginning to pay more attention to the creation of our own payment settlement system. Here's the problem, everyone. Putin doesn't care what happens to our economy. We are already weakened from a military standpoint, and our debt levels are so incredibly high that he knows he can just kick the leg of the stool out with China's help. We have pared back our military, and now he knows that he has us over the barrel with our currency due to his alliances with China and the rest of the BRIC nations. He has waited long enough and is now ready to return Russia to its former glory. He's making the financial moves right now that's going to allow Russia to be aligned with whatever new currency is coming, and my next story is going to tell you why. While our own central bank continues to print $60 billion of worthless currency every single month, Russia has now raised their gold holdings by another 7.24 metric tons of gold. Reported on the 26th by Gold Core, the same company who brought us the information about the People's Republic of China's gold buying habits, reports that Russia has increased their gold purchases last month by another 7.24 metric tons of gold, bringing Russia's current 2014 gold demand to 975 metric tons, only second to that of China at 1,066 metric tons. If the sanctions on Russia mentioned above put further strain on the Russian economy, the impact to the gold market could exponentially increase. The impact would theoretically cause the Russian central bank, Bank Rossi, to increase their gold holdings and further push Russia to recognize the yuan as the new international currency. We know that this is going to happen. We know that China is attempting to align themselves with Russia and is making some very serious choices to kill the dollar. I hope that you guys are continuing to get ready and has made the moves of the currency that I advised you to do last week. Finally, if it seems like I'm a bit disheveled tonight, maybe it's because of the news that our food budgets have increased by 19% since the beginning of the year. Presented by both Bloomberg and Zero Hedge this week in two charts for U.S. foodstuffs, it shows that our grocery bills are going up 19% per month for meat, dairy, fruits, and vegetables. The major factors that have affected the food prices are the current pork prices due to the massive die-off in pigs due to the pig flu, the emergency sale of the beef herds in California due to the drought, and the extended cold weather that killed off many of the early vegetable and fruit crops in Florida and throughout the South. This 19% is hitting all of us, and the impact on our pocketbook is really ugly. I know all of you who are listening are mostly prepared, but what do you think is happening to those who live on social entitlements? If the average family of four in the readout is getting $508 per month for groceries from the government, they are now realistically having to work with $406 a month. That's a loss of $100. That is just scary. The impact of their pocketbooks and our pocketbooks isn't done yet. In fact, it's going to go up more this year, which brings me to my advice for this week. At periods in history like this, food independence is really super crucial. It's time to make sure you're not relying on anyone but yourself. Yes, meat is expensive and you can raise your own, that's great, but sometimes it's a necessity. But if you can supplement your diet with the beans and vegetables that you grow, you'll have more money in your pocket for more prep supplies that you'll need, like medical supplies or power generation. Well, thanks again for listening this week and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout. This is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
Across America, the police state is growing. If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Readout at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. There has been a common theme in the news lately. We need government to help with whatever the crisis du jour of the day. I am sure you've heard it because it's everywhere. We need government to reform health care. We need government to stave off catastrophic climate change. We need government to bail out car makers. We need government to encourage community service. And on the list goes. After all, compassion dictates that government can be used as a force for good, right? I disagree. and this is where I think conservatism has lost its way. To the contrary, compassion dictates the need for more freedom. Government's purpose, in fact, is as a negative force, solely limited to protecting our God-given inalienable rights. Therefore, government is not a solution, but when used as a force for good, government is, in fact, the problem. That is the key difference, I think, between so-called Reagan conservatism and modern conservatism. Government is not the solution, it's the problem. The founders and I believe some level of government is necessary, but it is supposed to have a limited role, and that societal ills were best solved by charity and free enterprise. This is not an old, antiquated notion. After all, it was private nonprofit organizations that were heroically effective in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. So conservatives need to clear up the confusion. Government is not, and can never be, a force for good. Instead, we need to move toward a government that allows more freedom. Quite simply, freedom creates prosperity, and prosperity reduces poverty, and prosperity increases charity. The formula is as simple now as it was in 1776. All new laws should be weighed on this scale, and I believe many would be found wanting. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Voice of the American Readout on segment three. Just a little note for you on Fox 519. This is really, really pretty cool. We're going to get to Christian Fioravanti, Senate District 1 candidate here in just a second. Fox 519 is going to be putting up some articles, links to news and resources having to do with the economy. And we're also going to be putting the audio uploads from each Fox 519 Eye on the Economy segments from each week up on a separate page. It'll be the Fox 519 logo there. Just click on that and that will take you to articles, news links, and the audio uploads right there. So you can get that stuff and access that throughout the week, because I know some of you wanted to go back through and listen to those Eye on the Economy segments separately without having to dig through the uploaded podcast. So we're going to make those available for you guys. All right, let's get into this segment three, actually. And this segment and this interview with Christian is sponsored by AMP3. That's www.amp-3.net. Medical and preparedness gear and training over at USN ER Doc for the prepared citizen. And you'll be able to see me and Dave and Beth over at Prosser, Washington for the Northwest Preparedness Expo that's coming up on May 2nd and 3rd. Look forward to that. But you can learn more by going to amp-3.net. Okay, this is election season's coming up in the American Redoubt. In Idaho, specifically, May 20th is the primary. This is the make or break election that you, the conservatives, the patriots, need to get engaged in. You cannot sit around and wait for the general elections in November. Your future for your state has everything to do with who you get in to the primaries. And so it's my pleasure to introduce to you Christian Fioravanti, and he's running for Senate. He's out of Bonners Ferry or Boundary County. And I'm going to let him talk a little bit more about that and the district that he represents. But I got the privilege to meet him Thursday evening at the Oath Keeper. It was a Oath Keeper meeting, several speakers, of course, the usual suspects, Matt Shea, Vito Barbieri, Stuart Rhodes, great patriots, and got to meet several other candidates face-to-face. Heather Scott was another one. We interviewed her a couple weeks ago, and so it was really great to put the name to the face. And so, Christian, thank you so much for being with us on Radio Free Readout. It's a pleasure to have you with us, and it was great meeting you the other night.
Absolutely, John. Thank you so much.
Okay, you are going for Senate seat 4A. Is that correct?
I am doing, yes, Senate seat in District 1.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, District 1, because it starts up at the up in the top of the panhandle.
That's correct.
Okay, so introduce We want the listener to know who Christian Fioravanti is and why you are the better option. I know why, but I want them to hear it from you.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, again, thank you so much for having me on, John. I do live in Barnes Ferry, which is in Boundary County, Idaho, and I've owned a business for the last 7 years. And I'll tell you what, you know, getting into politics for me was kind of an odd move. I really feel that I was led to do that. I'm a strong Christian, and I just feel like God was telling me, you got to do this. And so I took up, you know, to the podium, and I went ahead and decided to jump in. And I really didn't want to. You know, it's one of those things where I wanted to just build my business and stay out of it all. You know, I wanted to be able to just keep working on that and build it into a large automated machine that I could eventually hopefully walk away from or retire from and be able to just live a simple life with my family and, you know, enjoy things. But if we just can't do that, we have these people in control and power at every level from the federal government down and even here in the state of Idaho
yes.
that are controlling things that want to absolutely restrict every part of your life and tell you what you can and can't do. And I just could not handle that. I mean, I did not want my kids to grow up in a world where they didn't have the freedoms to do what they want to do, to make choices and have the resources to live those choices. And so I just felt like it was the right thing to do, so I jumped in. But yeah, like I said, I'm in business now for the last 7 years, been doing that. It's in the internet marketing industry, so that's my background. I currently host the Idaho Politics Radio Show. We interview different candidates who are running for office. We interview elected officials and find out what are they doing down in Boise and what kind of things can we do to support them, you know, just different things like that. So quite a bit there. Did you want me to go ahead and jump into some of my main issues in my platform now? Or are you curious more?
Yeah. What I want to do, and first of all, it's refreshing to hear so many God-fearing patriots that they have all said, I feel called to this. And these are Christian leaders, and this is what people are hungry for. Real solid Christian leadership, and they are in this. It's a cause. It is not a career move. It's not a, you know, a step to try to elevate themselves. This is usually people being pulled out of their comfort zone into this calling and responding to that. And so it's just very it's very encouraging, because I hear from the listeners a lot, and we ran a poll a couple months ago, and of all the states in the American Readout where people are moving to, and there's a lot of them, Idaho was by leaps and bounds at the top of that list. And what we hear from people, I've said this before, they're looking at the representatives and they're saying, that's my representative. I live in Ohio. I live in California. I live in wherever it is. But that guy, that gal represents my values. And they're looking to you and other people in these positions saying, that person represents me. And they're moving here because of that. So that's really encouraging. But let's talk about the topics. What are your hot topics? What is making you... what makes you tick?
Definitely. Well, there's several things, and there's just so many issues out there. It's really hard to cover them all. I have a strong opinion and belief on so many different issues and levels of different things that are going on out there, but I know we can't tackle it all. If I were to even get elected, it would be very difficult to try and work on all of them. But some of my main issues are, number one, in the Western states here, we have the majority of our land is owned by the federal government and controlled by them. And they have actually locked up, it's estimated around $151 trillion worth of natural resources
yes.
in these Western states. It is absolutely amazing. It's mind-boggling, really, the kind of natural resources we have here. And most of that, a lot of that, is here in Idaho as well.
Yep.
And if we were to capture just 1% of that total, that's $1.5 trillion toward the prosperity of Idaho. What would that do for our citizens here? Is that going to create more jobs? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And bring a lot of wealth to the state. Are we going to have problems funding our education and funding everything else? You know, look at the cost of Medicaid in this state. It's absolutely insane.
Yes.
We'd have no problem funding all of these things. Now, I'm not a fan of, by the way, expanding Medicaid. I think we should reduce it and eliminate it over time. But again, we would not have problems with that. And here in Idaho, as you probably know, John, you know, our state, we have a good portion of our budget comes from the federal government. They're dishing out money to us. And our legislators currently, many of them are gladly accepting it. We are addicted to that money. Mm-hmm. And so they just keep bringing it in. And yes, they say we have a balanced budget in this state, but we're using federal dollars to do it. So we are dependent on the federal government 100%. And so we need to remove that dependency. If we get our state lands back, we have 62% of our lands that are owned by the federal government in this state. And if we get those back and put people back to work, the amount of money that we'll be able to bring in as a state will cover all of these things and allow us to cut ties, that tie with the federal government, which to me is going to be huge. Look at the massive debt they have at the federal level. If we can, and even right now, the federal government's already coming back to Idaho and saying, you know what, we don't think we're going to give you this money at the moment for whatever reason to fund some of the different programs we promised we would fund for you guys. And so how long is it going to be before they finally say, you know what, we're not going to give you any more money? So we have to remove that dependency. That's the first thing.
Absolutely, because that right there, they need us to need them. They want us to have that 45% of our you know, the state budget in Idaho, 45% of it comes from the federal government, because like you just nailed it, we cannot free up those natural resources and be financially independent, which is exactly where they want the American people to be, dependent on them.
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay, next topic. I know there's several things that you are just passionate about.
Definitely. Well, the next thing for me is healthcare. I mean, we all know with Obamacare coming in, it is a major upset into our system, and this thing is a massive disaster. It's only getting worse. And unfortunately, Idaho is the only Republican state, the so-called red state, that decided to accept and create an Idaho healthcare exchange. And
yes,
our governor Otter pushed that, and that's that was a major mistake, absolutely, at every level. And so the first thing is, I think we need to overturn that. If I get elected, I will absolutely be working to repeal the Idaho Healthcare Exchange, otherwise known as Obamacare. And one of my main solutions for that is a system called direct primary care. And I actually worked with Senator Stephen Thane. I helped him create a video to explain this system to his colleagues. And basically, what it is, for those who don't know, is we have right now in this country, the reason why healthcare is so expensive is we have a third party payer system. You have to go through the insurance company to pay for all these different programs. And so it drives the cost way up. And so what we need to create is a self-payer system where the power and the money gets put back into the hands of the consumers, who can then go and purchase the kind of healthcare they want and make the choices and decisions they want to make.
Yes.
So that's the real key thing. And direct primary care is one of those solutions, because it's actually, what's interesting is it's even allowed in the Obamacare system as kind of an opt-out, but direct primary care is where you literally can go to a physician, the one of your choice, and you can pay them, you become a part of a small copay, and it can be $60 a month, $100 a month, and you pay this every single month, this flat fee, and you get all the direct primary care that you need. So, you know, it's kind of like when you go to a dental office and you get your cleanings and your checkups done, you know, every few months. It's the same exact thing for healthcare. So the people who really need the care are going to get it, and they can get as much as they want whenever they need it. And so it really works a lot better. And for the doctors and the physicians, it's much better too, because they make a lot more money doing it. And I've actually was spending some time doing conference calls back and forth. There's a gentleman down in Washington State who is doing this, and it's absolutely exploding. His practice is going through the roof. He brought in, I think, 15,000 people into his practice under this direct primary care system in a matter of months.
Yes.
People are just flocking to it. They're getting much better care at much lower costs. And it's a real solution. It's a simple one that we can implement right now. I think we should do it here in Idaho. And it will be a first way out to creating an alternative to Obamacare. So I think we should follow that as well.
Well, yeah. And I think we should support that and support the doctors, because we need the best health care that's available to us. And just this week, the federal government or the legislators rammed through some legislation reducing the amount that they will pay. And basically these doctors are not going to be getting paid.
That's right.
For their services. And so this is a major problem. Now, speaking of Obamacare, we've got to hold the people accountable who put us in this situation. And something that was discussed the other night at the Oath Keeper meeting, one of the legislators nailed it also, because these people are posing as conservatives and they're passing this pro-gun measure that just went through, which we celebrated. It was a great thing. But these people are trying to redeem themselves because just months ago, they passed to approve this otter care. You know, the Idaho, the state, what's the word I'm trying to think of here? The state Obamacare, what do you want to call it?
Yeah, the healthcare exchange.
I'm sorry. Yes, the healthcare exchange. So these guys voted, your opponent voted for this state healthcare exchange.
She did.
And so these people have to go. And this is our chance to hold them accountable. And so I just applaud you for what you're doing. I know your platform well. I want to share it with the listeners, especially those, you know, we've got several listeners in your district, District 1, the Senate position, that is the primaries. You've got to get out there and vote in the primaries, May 20th for Idaho. And Christian Fioravanti, you are also a very strong Second Amendment proponent, and you're going to be, it's, if I'm not mistaken, you're also going to be at the April 19th Second Amendment rally at the Kootenai County Fairgrounds.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you again there. Okay. How can they go to your website and learn more and get involved with helping you with your campaign?
Most definitely. Well, my main website is IdahoSenate2014.com. So you can go ahead and plug that in. There's a lot of information there on my platform, the issues, where I stand, and how you can get involved. So check that out.
All right. Will do. And we'll also post a link on our highlights and resources posting for this show, episode 14-12. The 12th episode of 2014, and also to listen in on some of the stuff that you're doing, exposing what's going on in Idaho politics with your podcast, Idaho Politics Radio. And is there a link also from your campaign website to that?
I believe there is, yes, under the blog section.
Okay. Okay, I see it. All right, and we'll put a link for that as well. Maybe we can get Polly, code name Polly01. So we can put a link up there to Idaho Politics Radio to help people stay informed on the issues. And so, thanks for all you're doing on that as well.
Most definitely, thank you, John.
All right, Christian. Hey, it was a pleasure as always, and I look forward to seeing you again. And Godspeed on your election campaign. I think there's going to be a regime change in Idaho, and it is overdue. So, thank you for everything that you're doing.
That's right. Thank you, sir.
All right. God bless. Have a great night.
You too.
There's one other thing that I wanted to mention before I let him go, because I was speaking to him offline, and he is running as a Constitution Party candidate. Now, I voted for Chuck Baldwin, Constitution Party. I'm, you know, registered as a Republican. I believe that the Republican Party has been hijacked and it needs to be taken back. We need to kick out the people that have hijacked it. If you read, and I'm going to read to you sometime, the Republican Party platform. It describes to a T the Constitution Party. Now, normally I would urge people to reclaim the Republican Party, the party of the Republic. But in this case, there's some shenanigans going on. The Republican Party, Central Committee, the committee, they are not going to allow anybody but their darling, the incumbent Republican, they're going to put all of their money into her. They're going to support her, and it doesn't matter who runs against her. There've been some great candidates run against her that were defeated because for some reason they've just made up their mind. They're going to keep this left of center, voted for Obamacare candidate in place as a Republican Party. So Christian has a great chance of defeating her based on the issues coming up, because the people, most of them are unaffiliated. They're sick of the left, the Democrat, Republican, the Republicans swinging to the left. They're going to vote on the issues, and that's where he's going to beat them, is in the general elections in November. He's going to beat her. I'm believe he has as good a chance as anyone and a better chance than most. And he's going to tear her apart on the issues because she cannot hold, she cannot stand up to the issues. She, when she's held accountable by the people, she's, man, she's going down. And I want to see that. I want to see. And then I could see he's always been a Republican, but he went to the Constitution Party for this particular race. I think it's very smart and a very strategic move, very wise. Great, great young man. I got to meet him also at the Mad Bomber microbrewery in Hayden for that Oathkeeper meeting last Thursday. Okay, so let's go ahead and take a break. And then when we come back, I'm going to get you some listener letters. This is Radio Free Redoubt. From Studio A in the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then, let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt on Radio Free Readout.
And it goes a little something like this.
Welcome back to segment four. This segment is sponsored by KD Armor. Thank you guys so much for producing top-of-the-line body armor and plate carriers, full assemblies to keep you, your kit, fully ready to go. And this stuff is great. AR-500 plates, just amazing. And, of course, now they got the anti-spall coating on there. Top-of-the-line product. Okay, now we have some listener letters that I want to get to, and hopefully we'll be able to do this. And remember, you can contact me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. If you're driving, listening to a CD or somebody downloaded onto your iPod or something for you, and you're not sitting in front of the computer, you can visit us at radiofreeredoubt.com. Okay. Let's see here. Last week I mentioned something about, felons, a nonviolent felon. Once you do your time, you should have your rights restored. They should not be taken away from you for life. And if you think somebody shouldn't have a firearm, they shouldn't be out. That's my take. Well, I had a listener and a redoubter and a patriot say, hey, you know, I am a felon and, you know, I blew it. I made a mistake, but it's, you know, nonviolent crime. Got my act together, did something dumb, you know, long ago, and here I am not being able to have a firearm. I'd like to move to the American Redoubt, and what's the laws there? Okay. We all make mistakes. Some of us go to prison. Some of us never got caught, and now we got all of our stupidness out of our system. For those of you who got caught for nonviolent crimes, okay, this is covered in Title 18 in Idaho Code that covers imprisonment and the effects on civil rights and holding office and things like that. It covers crimes and punishments. Okay, this is in Title 18, which is the criminal code in Idaho, Chapter 3, Section 10. All right, this says, upon final discharge, a person convicted of any Idaho felony shall be restored the full rights of citizenship, except for persons convicted of treason or those offenses enumerated in paragraphs A through JJ. Now, those paragraphs, A through JJ, cover violent and sexual crimes. And kidnapping and bomb, destructive materials, first degree, second degree murder, and aggravated assault, aggravated battery, all this stuff. Or with a using a firearm in the commission of a crime. Now, if you have a felony and it doesn't fall, maybe you got your third DUI, so it's automatically a felony, and you were 24 years old. Here you are, 45 years old, family man, productive citizen, businessman. You contribute to society. All right, you should be able to have everything returned to you. Now, in the case in Idaho, it's very clear that you will have all of your rights immediately returned to you. And let's see here. Yep, you should be restored full rights of citizenship unless you the violent crime thing. Okay. The problem is persons convicted of felonies in other states or jurisdictions shall be allowed to register and vote in Idaho upon final discharge. That means you're done with your sentence, you're done with parole, probation, all that stuff is over and it's finally done. Okay, you can go to a board and have all your rights restored if it is, other crimes. But, man, you better get a lawyer for that. And I would also advise getting a lawyer anyway just to make sure that you're in the clear. But this is what the law says, and this is what some lawyers have written on answering some of these questions online. But it only is for Idaho felonies. If you commit a felony in Nebraska and you do your time, and it was a long time ago, and you moved to Idaho, and you're not allowed to own a firearm there, you do not get your rights. So maybe this is something that we should address on the legislative side of things. If this is a crime committed in, if this is a crime that if you had committed it in Idaho, you would have received your rights in full, but it was committed in another state, then it should apply, in the state of Idaho. So there's something to address to drive toward your legislators. And I think it's fair. And if you shouldn't own a firearm, maybe you shouldn't be out of prison. If it's that bad. And if these people are doing, why are these people in prison? They should be hanging from the gallows for some of these crimes. But anyway, there's my take on that. Do you think you could do a show about EMP protection, not just radio, but vehicles as well? Okay, I am not an EMP expert, but I've read a lot of stuff about EMP and EMP protection, and I've taken limited measures, but actually I'm really lacking in my EMP protection department. It's sad to say, it takes work, it takes effort, and a little bit of money, but you can do it very, very inexpensively. You can wrap your electronics in, aluminum, tin, and foil and put it in a microwave, with the power cord cut off. You can ground it, simple little things. But I'm not an EMP expert. I know as much as any of you do. But I know there's some EMP experts out there. If you want to give me a call, I'd love to do an interview and do a segment on EMP specific, the EMP threat and EMP protection. And that would be really helpful. So give me a call. Let me know. Let's see. That will be in the future. Somebody wants to log in and change their email because they're using Tor. And what happens is someone uses Tor and they're blocked from visiting the site. Do you know of a way of fixing this? And you've had other people with this problem. How can you make Tor and our Radio Free Readout work together? Okay, now Tor, remember, this reroutes you and multiple encrypts you each time you bounce from one node to another across multiple nodes around the world, and you pop up at Radio Free Readout from, it could be Belize, could be Canada, could be Nevada, it could be Singapore. Okay, so we have to, because we have so many hacking attempts, literally thousands of hacking attempts, sometimes per day on Radio Free Readout. We've had to block out whole segments of IP addresses from whole countries, in fact. So my recommendation is to back out and then come back in, and it will reroute you each time you do that. So keep coming back in until you pop up out of, England or France or Germany or somewhere in the United States, but we cannot undo it, especially with some of these countries that we get, Romania and several places in Southeast Asia are just horrible. China, okay, really bad. Here is a great letter. We recently redoubted. We finally made it. We redoubted. This is I just got this in this afternoon. We've actually been here a couple weeks now, but it's been a hectic day trying to settle in. As you can imagine, we absolutely love it here. My wife and I can't get over how awesome the people and the culture are in general, how they are here. Since I've left occupied territory, I need to update my ARN info. How should I go about doing that? Anytime you guys need to update your membership information, whether you got your ham license or you moved or you relocate, you finally took the gap, made it to the American Redoubt, just email me, John Jacob at Radio Free Redoubt, and say, hey, can you change my location from Missouri to Washington or Montana or Idaho or whatever, with your general, you know, location, county or city and state. We'll update that. Not a problem. But this is the guy. Remember I was telling you about a couple weeks ago, he's saying, you know, hey, I want to, you know, do a focused study on each community in the American Redoubt with a new one each week, you know, because I think it would really help people who want to be informed about where to move to. I think this is a great idea, and I couldn't remember who it was. And so it's him, Charlie06, code name Charlie06. Thank you so much for reminding me, because I couldn't remember who it was I've been corresponding with. Yes, I would be more than happy, and so would many listeners out there, if someone would step up, if you would step up and take ownership of that project, make it yours. It's your baby, just like Fox 519 with Eye on the Economy, you know, things like that. With code name Chloe doing the Partisan Diaries. I'll give you some updates on that later. She's frazzled right now. She's got a lot of stuff going on in her personal life. She's trying to get the next segment of Partisan Diaries going. But thank you for staying on this. And he goes on to say, I'm really excited to be attending my first redoubt event at Kootenai County at the fairgrounds next month. He's talking about the Second Amendment rally on the 19th, Saturday. And I look forward to finally being able to shake your hand. Well, no, actually, the privilege is mine. I look forward to shaking your hand. I'm just the guy with the microphone and the vision, right? You guys are the ones that uprooted. You sold your house. You changed. You got a new job lined up. You uprooted your entire family and moved so you could be around other like-minded patriots. You know, you stuck your neck out there and took a huge risk, and it's a scary thing. I want to shake your hand because you acted. You put your money where your mouth is. You guys that are actually redoubting, there's so many of you. Of course, if I were in your situation, I'd be redoubting too. But no, it's a privilege is mine. Anytime I get a chance to meet any of you guys. Now, I have to make a note here. I know several of you guys are probably going to be at the Second Amendment rally because you want to finally, you know, put a name to the face and meet me. But I have to say that because this is a public event, the media will be there. There will be non-friendlies present. Okay, so the broadcasting booth, there will be controlled access. We will have security in place, and there will not be anybody who's not a redoubter coming back in there. Track down one of the Radio Free Redoubt partisans who will be there, and you will recognize them because they'll probably have the black skull logo Radio Free Redoubt shirts. Give them your ARN or your AMRON code name, and they'll make sure that you guys can have access back there. And I don't mean to, you know, I'm not like, oh, I got to have security and like I'm all that. I don't think that at all. But there are people that are not friendly. They have no business being inside of the American Redoubt or the Radio Free Redoubt. They don't belong. And they do not have our interest in mind. And they don't need to be taking pictures of people. They don't need to be, they're curious. Just let them be curious. All right. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that. Let's see here. This is another question. What is a good place to start to connect with other members or teams so we could establish an information and supply network in our areas and not to broadcast it openly? Okay, we have a link up protocol. You look in your membership directory and look at the people in your area in that directory. And then you email me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com and you say, hey, can you put me in, you know, in touch with, you know, Delta 55 and Hotel 61 and Lima 02 and you know, these guys are in my area. We will contact them with your contact information and let you guys link up. This is happening all across the country, and people are starting local networks. They are in contact with each other. We don't want to be a part of that. We don't want to have that on a directory. This is something that you do on your own, and you can stay in contact with us and give us updates. Hey, want to let you know we got, you know, a great communications network going here. We got a supply network, and that, you know, that's good for us to have a pulse on what's going on out there. But as far as the details, you guys work that out between you. And this is the safest way that we know of to be able to get you guys linked up with each other, which is the whole point of becoming a member, because when you are put in touch with someone else, you have an extremely high likelihood that this is a like-minded patriot who shares your same values, vision, and ideals. And you have a very high chance of working well with each other. All right. And sometimes people just don't get along. I mean, that's going to happen. But we can at least try to put the odds in your favor. Let's see. What else we want to cover here? That's pretty much it for the listener letters that we have time for here. But keep them coming in. Thank you for the prayers and the words of encouragement. Okay, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, you are going to hear from a lady who was stopped without a warrant at a vehicle checkpoint. And they knew a little more about her than really they should have. And it made her extremely uncomfortable. It should make you uncomfortable as well if you value liberty. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. So don't touch that mouse.
If you serve your country, either in law enforcement or in the military, and you are a patriot, love liberty, and want to do your part in preserving what made America great and free, join Oath Keepers today.
Attention. 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 Stand by for message. 5 8 3 0 3 8 9 2 7 9 6 9 7 9 End of message.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
May we help you?
Yes, I'm trying to get a hold of...
Hi, this is she.
Hi. This is John Jacob Schmidt from Radio Free Readout again. Apparently, we have a mutual friend, and he told me about your situation.
Yeah, David and Beth, they're awesome.
They are amazing people. And yes. I wanted to get your story because I heard something that was a little disturbing, but I wanted to make sure, too.
I don't know anything about the second incident, but I was told by the conference planners that, in fact, there were two such incidences. One was mine. That is true. So apparently this is not an isolated deal. And I have known that checkpoints, I consider them illegal, unconstitutional checkpoints, are being done throughout our country now, multiple states. So I wasn't particularly surprised.
Okay, let's talk about this incident and what happened. That we're talking about just recently. This was last, I believe it was Wednesday, March 19th. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And you are on your way to the Prepper Fest in Phoenix, Arizona.
Correct. I was leaving Houston and headed west. I had just left El Paso, and I was 5 miles on the easternmost border of New Mexico. So that's where this checkpoint was. A lot of road construction, so it wasn't particularly surprising that the two lanes and the freeway were narrowed down to one. But it was a surprise to me that everybody on the freeway, regular carrier trucks as well as passenger vehicles, were ushered into a weigh station style area. And the trucks went one place, I went another, with my van, unmarked, you know, white Econoline van, very plain situation. Eight cars in front of me were ushered through just perfunctorily. There was a state highway patrol. There was a dog. And then there was a border patrol, along with approximately 20 different kinds of cameras as we were going on that quarter mile in queue waiting to be interrogated by the Border Patrol.
20 cameras off of
At least there were at least, yeah.
Okay, and there, so you're 5 miles across the border into New Mexico.
Correct.
They separate the traffic from the commercial carriers, 18-wheelers and such, from passenger vehicles. They let 8 vehicles go ahead of you. And then what happened with you?
Then as I pull up, I'm, of course, expecting to be waved through in short order. They asked me if I'm an American citizen, at which point, you know, I was pretty much dumbfounded. Because that is an illegal question, and you're supposed to answer it in a certain way. But I'm headed to a prepper fest with about $30,000 of seeds, because that's my business. I have an heirloom seed company.
Yes.
Now, thoughts are raging in my mind. I'm going to get quarantined if I act the fool and make an issue of this and act smart. So I just played like a low-down sheep slave, you know. Yes, sir, I am an American citizen. At which point he then asked me where was I going. He had a clipboard, and it looked like maybe electronic type clipboard. I said Phoenix, Arizona. That's all I said. He said, wait a minute, and then he asked me, what are you carrying? And I thought, well, you know, for my display, I sometimes purchase agriculture items. I had just done it. I couldn't remember if I purchased them in Texas or if I purchased them in New Mexico. And I thought, well, got to be careful here. You can't have agriculture products in some states crossing the border. So I said, well, I have seeds that are sealed up because I wanted to take the issue of quarantine off the table. And I thought, well, this is the simplest way to do it. Is just tell them I've got seeds. And they're all sealed up. In other words, no egg product of New Mexico could be harmed by our product line.
Right.
But he said, just a minute. And approximately 45 seconds later, he came and he says, Ms. have a good time at Prepper Fest. So he knew my name. I had not given him any sort of ID or anything. And he knew where I was going.
Wow.
So the only thing I can assume is one of two things. One, there was facial recognition, or more likely, my plates were run. I own a Montana corporate vehicle. I have a Montana corporation. Although I live in Texas, I have a Montana plate for my license plate. And I am on, of course, the insurance policy. So if they Googled my name, up would come Seed Company, tie into his question, what are you carrying? And if you did, and I did that this morning just to verify, and up came about 4 of my pictures, some from articles that I had, you know, been featured in, some from my website. If you go to my website, there is my schedule, and it does say that I was going to Prepper Fest, which is a survivalist preparatory kind of conference where you can learn things about how to survive, grow your own food, what things to purchase if it's a grid down situation.
Sure.
And those kind of things. Big Brother is definitely watching. I think that's the takeaway here.
Now, did he ask for your identification? Did he have possession of that?
No.
At
I would
no
have given
time.
It to him because, again, I didn't want to be quarantined and then miss the conference. And I was driving 19 hours in order to make, you know, that event. So even though I knew that that's an illegal situation, in my opinion, an unconstitutional detaining.
Well, of course it is.
I did not want to you know, I didn't want to play hardball at that point. I mean, I want to pick, I will do that at some point, but this was not the venue for me to do that in.
Well, yeah, like you know, you're about to say, you got to pick your battles. And here you are with tens of thousands of dollars of invested product in your business. You're on your way. You have a time schedule. Everybody's headed there. There's a lot of setup involved. And they could really hurt you just by holding you up and playing their stupid games. And yeah, you win in the end. But in the meantime, you know, you've missed out on the fest, the, you know, the preparedness rally that you're going to. And now it's kind of interesting, too, because there was there were some pretty high profile and some would say controversial individuals at this Prepper Fest. I believe Sheriff Mack was there. Stuart Rhodes spoke, or was that by teleconference?
Well, that was by Skype. Mm-hmm, sure okay. was. But so, those individuals are extremely high profile because they do believe that our constitutional liberties are being squashed.
Yes.
And they do believe that Agenda 21 and core training and things like that are coming in to take away the values of America. So on the political side, there's some controversial people. Joel Skolson was also there.
Yeah.
He's written many books on safe places. In other words, if you think that our economy may not make it and you're going to be responsible to take care of your own family in your own way, you might not want to be living in Houston, for example.
Well, that's what the American Readout is all about. It's the demographic shifting of patriot, self-reliant, God-fearing Americans that are relocating to these conservative pockets.
Right.
And so, yeah, and you know, that is what people are really thinking about when they attend these conferences. And I'll be speaking with Joel Skousen in Spokane in May. And
wonderful.
We're going to have some more information on that. But that's one of the things that I will be, you know, directly addressing, and then especially with messages for our leadership and the citizens. And so, you know, I mean, you're just among one of the, you know, the many, many patriots that that we know of in what we affectionately call the Texas Redoubt. But there are a lot of people that are relocating there.
And it's really important to know where these networks are. I'm really a big fan of keeping your connections because we may need that down the road.
Yes.
And I love going to these survival events because inevitably – I'm going to, you know, give some information out to people that need it, but I'm going to go home with a whole lot more for my team. And I do have a team that I'm preparing because I don't think that we're going to be able to make it alone.
No.
I can be an expert in one area. It happens to be agronomy and growing things and survival gardens, but I've got to have people that are beekeepers or medics or whatever on my team.
Yes, absolutely. It's networking. And part of that network is communications experts, which we have many AMRON operators in Texas, well, in every state in the country now, you know, to stay connected that way as well.
That's
it's pretty exciting.
One.
There's a lot. There's definitely a lot going on. But it's in response to other lots of things that are going on, like illegal and unconstitutional checkpoints and searches, the instant access to information without ever even having to pull your driver's license or ask you a question about your identity. You know, these license plate recognition and reading cameras, obviously the guy knew who you were, where you were going without having asked. And that's a lot of information at the disposal of somebody who's doing something that's blatantly in violation of the Constitution in the first place. Interesting.
Well, that was exactly my takeaway. I was very unsettled by that discussion. I wanted to get to the event as quick as possible, and I obviously, you know, shared that information with people, including mutual friends of ours that were also going to that event. And apparently there were others, at least one other person that experienced a similar interrogation at the border. With
yes.
Border Patrol.
You became
and
aware of this.
This was interstate commerce. This was not me going to another culture.
Right.
I wasn't going to Mexico. That I would totally get and understand.
Right. You became aware of another incident just like yours that happened to another party after you got to the Prepper Fest, correct?
Yes. The administrator of the conference did confide in me that my incident was not the only one. I did not get any other details about that other person.
Hmm. Well, I thank you for sharing your story. This is something that we need to be telling, and we need to be retelling, and we need to call things out like they are, and we need to make people aware. There's people saying, you know what? What tyranny? You know, what's the problem with that? If you're not doing anything wrong, why should you have a problem with that? Well, there's a big problem with that, because if they will violate the Constitution in five areas, what makes you think they won't in the other 355 areas? You know, so we have to be aware of this, and we should be outraged by this. And I think you did the right thing. Cooler heads prevailed. That was not the time to, you know, trying to get into a battle of wits with them. But it's still unnerving nonetheless.
Now, I carry a pocket constitution with me. I carry a citizen's rule little book that's put together by Oath Keepers.
Good.
I carry that with me. So, you know, if I had to, I would have relied on those. And I think that we also need to, when we have these kind of encounters with law enforcement, military, or Border Patrol, we've got to remember that these are also American citizens. They may not be very well schooled in the Constitution. And sometimes by a respectful manner, we can really challenge them.
Yes.
And I didn't do that. I regret that I missed that opportunity at this event. But anytime I see a police officer or a military, I thank them for their service. And then I ask them if they've heard about Oath Keepers. And if they know how to righteously refuse an unlawful or unconstitutional order, many of them do not. And I say, look, you took an oath. You've never reneged on that oath, I hope. And since the Constitution must be defended by all, you know, at all costs, if you got an immoral order, what would you do? And because so many of them feel that they're standing alone, mm-hmm. I then refer them to Oath Keepers and other organizations like the one that Sheriff Knack runs.
Yes.
Constitutional sheriffs and police officers.
Yep.
Peace officers. So that they can realize, hey, you know, there's a long history of people, regular Americans, standing against tyranny, and together we can take down the fallacies of the New World Order. And if we keep ourselves silent, This is how things have gotten to be where they're at.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that.
You and I are good people. We run our businesses. We take care of our families. We go to church or synagogue, and we keep our nose clean with the law. But we've done the good, and we haven't done the great. The great is actually to be involved heavily in society.
That's the difference between a patriot and someone who's patriotic. The patriot...
True.
Gets involved. And the patriot carries a copy of the Constitution, and they know it. They use opportunities to inform and teach their fellow citizens when those opportunities arise. And I love where your heart's at in this, because that, you know, I don't want the listeners to go away with, well, geez, they got away with it. They held her up. They got to ask her all these questions. It was invasive. They knew stuff about her that they shouldn't have been able to without even getting any hands on her identification. You know, this was just pure tyranny, and they got away with it. Now, I'm sure it would have been completely different if you were on your way from the Prepper Fest.
Oh, absolutely. I got all the time in the world, and my $30,000 of inventory is not as much risk.
Well, and on top of that, I want to leave the listeners with some encouragement, and that is, if you had chosen to, you know, stand your ground and really challenge them on this, historically, we have seen over and over they back down. When you challenge them with the Constitution, the rank and file guys, they get flustered and don't know what to do. We've seen the YouTube videos and other reports where they'll call the supervisor over, and then the informed citizen challenges the supervisor and on the constitutionality of it. Pretty soon they just wave you on through. They just want you to be gone. And but they do back down. They do give ground when you challenge them on this. Unfortunately,
and
I was
schooled in that by our mutual friend, another vendor that we both know.
Yes.
He did. He sat me down at dinner and he said, "No, you could have handled it this way. And in the future, you've got these options."
Yes.
And this is the concept. So I felt very empowered after another patriot told me that I could have done a little bit better. And that's like iron sharpening iron.
Yes.
And that's, again, what we have to do. We cannot be silent anymore. Evil will triumph if good does not stand up and find a backbone. And yep. So I guess that's my challenge to all radio audiences across the country today. And that's why I spend my weekends at survival events and gun shows, is to help wake up our fellow American citizens. Now, my area happens to be in food production. I'm a pretty good shot if I had to defend myself, but I don't even know what caliber I just shot. But there's other people on my team that handle that, you know?
Yes.
But I want to be a real expert in food production, because after guns and bullets, the patriots must eat. And that's my role in whatever the coming economy looks like, is high-intensity gardening and food preservation.
Well, God bless you for your willingness to step up and be such a significant part in that role, because the warriors have to eat. And so thank you for doing that.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, hey, Lucinda, it was so great to have you with us. I want to thank you very much for your time. And anything like this happens again, we would love to hear, you know, any kind of a follow-up report. But I think you did the right thing in this situation. And I just want to thank you for your testimony.
Well, thanks for the call. God bless you guys.
You too. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Hey, everyone. This is Glenn Tate checking in from Occupied Territory, wishing I was in the American Readout right now. You're tuned in to the voice of the American Readout.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Radio Free Readout is a strong proponent of disaster preparedness and self-sufficient living. Although we touch on the topic from time to time, we're not a resource which specializes in those areas. However, among the hundreds of resources that are out there, we've come across some that we found to be particularly useful. You'll find some of those in a list of links about halfway down the page on the right at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com. In fact, they are the resources that we use. If you know of a resource that has been exceptionally useful to you and would like to see it added to our list of links, email the links to us at radiofreeredoubt.com.
Okay, thank you for not going too far away, and thanks for being with us. Thanks for all of your support. You guys are amazing. You guys are awesome. Okay, let's see. I'm gonna wrap things up here. I want to talk about communications real quick, because we have a few announcements, and then we'll go ahead and close things down. And of course, Revolutionary Realty is sponsoring this part. It's covering the communications announcements, and so we want to thank them also. You guys know who Revolutionary Realty is. Great team over there, helping people get relocated and find prepper properties. Communications, super important. We've got some announcements. First of all, don't forget our communications nets are coming up this week, the first and the third week of each month. Wednesday night is digital nets, and Thursday night are voice nets. With only a few exceptions, go to amron.com. That's amron.com. And look at those announcements up there and see... look at the net directories to find the net in your area, to find out what frequency you're going to be on and what time your nets and days and things like that. So check it. And if you don't find one in your area, several are being stood up right now. If you don't see one on there in your area, then start one. And you can do this if you just got a CB and you talk to yourself for the next 6 weeks or 6 months until all of a sudden somebody else joins you. Okay, consistently. We want to be there for them. Okay, now, to help you out, we just uploaded, and did we burn some midnight oil putting this together. The net script and a NCS log, a net control station log. Those have been uploaded at amron.com under the resources to help with running nets. If you don't know what to say during a net, we have a net script that you can customize and make it fit your situation, but at least it's something to start off with that you can easily modify. But if you just stuck to that script right there and use that, it would help you effectively conduct a communications net in your area. You can use it for anything voice, whether it's HF, UHF, VHF, CB, you know, any of the CH3 nets, anything like that. Feel free to use that. And of course, your feedback is always appreciated. And there's also a net control log, so you can document the people that you made contact with, and you'll start building relationships with people and start talking to them, and you'll start getting, you know, regular people checking into the net. And, you know, that's really exciting. That's some good stuff. Let's see here. They're also, Codename Poly01 put together a really cool little tool. This was a PDF on how to get started as an Amron operator. There were some people who did not know exactly how to get started, and they wanted to get involved. And so this is a great step-by-step guide for somebody who wants to get involved as an Amron operator, starting from zero to, you know, becoming, you know, actively involved as an Amron operator. So check that out. All right. Don't forget, also, I want to remind you one last time before we go. The Northwest Preparedness Expo is in Prosser, Washington. That's about 25 minutes out of the Tri-Cities, you know, Kennewick, Pasco, Richland, in central Washington. Definitely in the American Redoubt. And that there around Prosser, it's beautiful. It's got rolling hills, vineyards. I mean, it's wine country. And it's a really neat area. So Friday and Saturday, May 2nd and May 3rd, 2014, it's $10 a person. It covers you for both days, by the way, and children 12 and under are free. I will be teaching the Prepper Communications 101 on Friday and then Prepper Communications 201 on Saturday. And love to see as many of you there as possible. And Dave and Beth from AMP3 will also be there. And their booth is right next to ours. And he's going to be putting on some great medical training there. So we look forward to just meeting you guys. I did mention the PDF for the net control script. We're going to add some variations too. We've had some really great suggestions and ideas that people have incorporated into their local nets. And we're going to add those also as ideas to help you, as a resource, to be able to help you operate your nets more efficiently. And that's pretty much it. That is a wrap. We did it. Episode 1412 is at an end. God bless all of you guys. Have a great week. God bless you and your families and everything that you set your hand to. And make sure that you prayerfully approach the decision to make your move to the American Redoubt. It is a very strategic move. And we are absolutely confident that it is one of the very few viable solutions for what's coming to this country, for responding, for having a plan. So you don't have to despair. Set the despair aside. All right. And trust in the Lord. Okay, I'm John Jacob Schmidt. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. It's great having you all with us. And until we meet again next week with episode 14-13, good night.